When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's all happening tonight. College football playoff kicks off. I'm like a little giddy about this. I don't know.
Oh my God.
We do this for a living and it never gets old.
It's almost like a little adrenaline rush that you get to watch these games. I wish they spread it out a little more, because having the NFL and college tomorrow on Saturday is kind of like, oh man, how am I going to watch all this? We will manage, but...
Boo-hoo, I know. We're going to have to find a way. We're going to have to muscle through pro off. This is our time.
I'm pro as a fan to spread out the football schedule every night of the week almost. Because Tuesday night, I'm always like, oh, this is so depressing during the fall.
I know, then, you fall into a little bit of a funk on like Tuesday and Wednesday.
And there's nothing worse. February 14th or whatever, the day after the Super Bowl.
That's Valentine's Day also?
Yeah, or whatever. This year will be February 10th. It is the saddest day of all.
Well, let's not talk about that when we have all this great football still in front of us. Let's not pre-mourn.
My point is, spread it out. It is like a lot. There's a lot happening between today, Friday, and through Christmas, Wednesday. Patrick Mahomes is playing 3 games in the next 4 days or something. There's just a lot of football coming our way, and you're right. It's totally awesome.
Crazy schedule, and it obviously kicks off tonight. So you got Indiana traveling to Notre Dame tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern time, and that's on ABC and ESPN. Then tomorrow kicks off at noon. We're right back up. That's SMU and Penn State, and then 4 p.m. Eastern is Clemson and Texas, and then the nightcap, 8 o'clock, is Tennessee at Ohio State. And I didn't realize that Ohio State doesn't do night games after November, so it has been a long time since we've seen it. 8 o'clock, that is going to be freezing. 8 o'clock Eastern for kickoff at the Shoe. Now, here's our question for you globally. So let's take the teams that got byes out of this. So let's take out Oregon. We're going to take out Georgia. Take out Arizona State. We'll take out Boise State. Of these first playoff games, the ones that are going to start tonight and then go into tomorrow, if you could pick any coach to be coaching your team in these kickoff games, who is the coach that you want starting tonight?
Wow. So you don't get the teams to get a bye.
Nope. Those games we'll talk about when we get to those.
Dillingham's out. Okay.
You can't take Dan Lanning. You can't take Kirby Smart, which would be the obvious choice here.
No. I don't think Kirby's not obvious. Do you think he is? I think Dan Lanning.
He's the only champion besides Dabo.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like Lanning's coming up fast. I'm not sure. Kirby also... Picture Kirby in the Texas game. Like, he's been a wild man this year with not having as good a team. Wow, this is hard. Okay, I get one. Can you run down the coaches? You got Dabo, you got Sark. I'll run down. You got Heupel, you got Ryan Day, you got Lashley, James Franklin, Cignetti, and Marcus Freeman. Okay, do you want to go first? Because I didn't prep for this. I have a lean. I think I'm taking Heupel.
Interesting. Okay.
I love that guy. I think the team loves him. I think he does a little bit more with less than any of these other guys. And the fact that he turned his offense from like an air raid kind of crazy fast to this run team is very interesting to me. I think he's a really good coach.
So are you picking Tennessee for the upset or just a cover, or how are you doing this?
I think that game's going to be really close. Leaning. Yeah, I think that game is very dangerous for Ohio State. That's a one team. And actually, I'm kind of piggybacking off what you said. The winner of that game goes to Oregon. That feels like a really tough assignment because Ohio State's very talented. I think Tennessee does the most of what they have. So I would lean hype on this first round.
You know, I'm going to have to give it to Dabo simply based on the accolades and simply based on the fact that he's been in these big games. He has been a champion. And if you're asking me who do I think is just the best X's and O's head coach, I think you would probably have a case for Kurt Cignetti because of all the winning that he's done. He might be the best X's and O's coach because, you know, we had Pat Boyle in here doing updates yesterday. He made some good points about Marcus Freeman not having a team organized, not having enough guys on the field. James Franklin, obviously, has many big letdowns. Rhett Lashley, we know enough about? He's a great X's and O.
By the way, he's a good X's and O coach. I think you could say the same thing about him.
Sark, has not, again,
greatest play caller in college football history, but yes.
But big games, what have we seen? Ryan Day has had his issues, of course. So I think I'd have to go with Dabo in this one. Again, we're asking you of the first round games that are starting and kicking off tonight, who's the coach you would want?
I'm sorry, I just don't get it. Why Dabo? And I feel like I'm speaking for America. Dabo's been so down. Like, obviously, Clemson had the worst year of any of these teams. If Dabo had the number one quarterback, like, ever since Trevor Lawrence left, like, he had all these big players in there, and they've just been disappointing. It feels like the modern game has passed them by.
See, I would say the opposite. They probably had the worst season of all these teams, and look at where they are.
Yeah,
Final
because
12.
Because a fluke of the ACC scheduling, not because of any, like, awesome season they had.
Okay, but I don't think people are saying that about Arizona State's got a bye.
Arizona State is a house on fire right now.
Okay. I mean, you're talking about flukes in the system.
I think
Arizona State was very good at the end of the year, but do you think they were one of the four best teams in college football? You thought Alabama should be in, so I know you don't think that this is all fair and square.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of programs that would hire Dillingham today if they could and get rid of their coach. I think Arizona State's got some little special going on, and maybe it's momentum, and maybe it's because their competition is bad. But Clemson doesn't feel like, I watch Clemson, and it just doesn't feel like they're like this consistently awesome team. Like, you really don't know what you're going to get, right?
Well, isn't that kind of everyone? Do you know what you're getting with Georgia? No. Do you know what you're getting with Ohio State?
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. But I don't think, like, Dabo is going to coach this team in a way where there's no consistency. And if the coach is so great, like, Saban always had a level of consistency that I don't think Dabo can do with his roster because he's, as we know, it's a cliche, but he's refused to bring in receivers. He's refused to use a transfer portal.
And they're still here. They're still here.
But they're here, kind of.
They're here. Now, granted, this is the biggest spread of the opening games.
Yeah, and they're definitely, like, are they the lowest ranked team in here? Or they ahead of Arizona State?
They're 12th. No, it's 12 team.
No. I mean, in the AP.
I don't have that in front of me.
Yeah, I mean, they're technically here. You're right.
855-212-4227.
I mean, if Alabama Clemson played on neutral field, Alabama would be favored. If Miami played Clemson on neutral field, Miami would be favored. So, yes, they're there. So they're 13th in the poll. They are, I believe, the lowest ranked team in this field. Like, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, you've been saying upset alert all week.
I know, and now I think there's too many people on the upset bandwagon with me that I need to fade my own bandwagon?
This game is so hard.
This is why betting is so challenging.
This game doesn't feel very hard to predict this game as well, because Texas is so up and down, so much talent. But you really don't know, like, who is Quinn Ewers?
And how hurt is he?
Yeah.
Is the other part, too. He's definitely got the oblique, but with Arch Manning behind him, this is interesting. EJ, I'm reminded of something that you said a couple weeks ago, and it was about Arch Manning and how they were using Arch at the goal line, and he was taking a lot of punishment. And your observation was, if I'm the Mannings and I'm the all-powerful first family of football Mannings, I call Sark and say, cut it out. We're putting him in harm's way. Stop using him like a battering ram and start using him. If you're going to use him like a quarterback, use him like a quarterback, but don't use him as a de facto running back, basically, or H-back. I wonder if any conversation like that happened over the last couple weeks, because we did not see a lot of Arch Manning at all in the SEC championship game.
Yeah, that's really interesting. See, I would picture the Mannings are so competitive. They'd be like, do whatever you can to win. And they want a title out of this. The other question, too, is what happens?
But Arch is going to play all next year, you know?
Probably. I mean, where? What's happening? Like,
I assume Texas.
And is this title going to mean as much if he's not the starter? Like, I think they want the next year title where he's the starter, he's the guy, because Peyton couldn't get that championship and Eli couldn't get that championship and Archie couldn't get that championship. I don't know if him being the backup, you know, freshman Tim Tebow type player, you know, Wildcat, that's not the national championship they want. They want the next year when he's the big man on campus.
But are we so positive? Quinn Ewers is what happens to Quinn Ewers next year? So what happens if Ewers says, I'm coming back to college? Is he definitely leaving Austin?
I think that Texas would say, like, you don't got to go home, but you can't stay here.
But you thought they were going to say that last year.
I did think they were going to say that last year. I did. But is Arch really going to sit for 2 years?
No. I mean,
it'd be 3.
I've heard people talk about, like, wow, what's going to happen toward the end of the transfer portal? Is there going to be a Texas quarterback in there? Is there going to be an Alabama quarterback in there? Is there going to be a very interesting time towards the end? Is Ewers draftable right now? I guess it all depends on how he plays. Like, he does not look like he wants to go in the NFL draft right now.
Well, if we had, like, another question here, which is who's got the most to gain in this playoff? Quinn Ewers would be very, very high on the list if we're talking about players.
Okay. Yeah.
Coaches, obviously, we know.
Signetti, man. He
well,
has a lot
Signetti,
to
but I mean, this would be huge for Marcus Freeman. This would be huge for Ryan Day, who, if he loses, may actually maybe
that's so funny.
Show him the door.
It'd be huge for Ryan Day, but it feels more like survival for Ryan Day.
That's
it feels like bordering on superstardom for Kurt Signetti. Yeah, that's interesting. So you're saying. I'm very curious about Drew Aller already saying he's coming back to Penn State. Like, what if he just dominates this field?
If they go to the title game, say win it, he would probably be silly not to go pro at that point.
Right, because it's a weak quarterback draft. I mean, who knows? Next year might be too.
And then all of a sudden you had your backup, Bo Prabula, transferred away because he saw that Aller was coming back.
How about Gunnar Stockton in Georgia, too, assuming that Carson Beck doesn't come back? He could become, like, I feel like that's a college football legend.
You know, a lot of hype around Notre Dame right now. I don't know if you guys are picking up on this.
I have.
Yeah, a lot of hype around Notre Dame. And listen, you know, I've been a little bit, I don't want to say hater. I haven't been a hater on Indiana. I've just been a little slow to the bandwagon, guys. Just been a little cautious to the bandwagon. And it's not like Notre Dame has all these signature wins all up and down their schedule either. I understand that. Haters. Yeah, people like me. I'm seeing this Notre Dame sort of groundswell, and I can't tell if this is just because Notre Dame fans are all over the country and they're one of those teams that you love or love to hate, or if this is actually looking at Notre Dame, how the bracket lines out for them, and saying this is a favorable matchup.
Yeah,
if
I think
there's
such
a thing.
I guess the way the bracket lays out is why Notre Dame's so attractive to people. Indiana being an easy option, and then Georgia being beat up in the next round. And then the top of the seed, you have Penn State. So everyone thinks Penn State can't beat a top 10 team. So it does lay out really well for Notre Dame. The harder one seems the Ohio State, Oregon, Tennessee mess.
I just don't know how you look at Georgia, even with an up and down season, even with a backup quarterback, and think, oh, this is the easier side of the draw. That just doesn't compute to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, Georgia, who knows with them? Like, they could easily, you don't know if they're going to play down to the other team. The thing about Notre Dame and Indiana, like, again, you're right. Notre Dame hasn't played anybody. We don't know what Marcus Freeman's like in a big game. That's a lot of unknown. I'm not sure. I'm not comfortable picking Notre Dame, but I told you I listened to this podcast of really smart guys. They're all like, Notre Dame, Notre Dame, Notre Dame. Their offensive line is going to carry the day. It's a wild scene. I actually think I'm really excited to see Arizona State. I mean,
you have to wait.
I know. I'm just saying, like, a team that can get hot. It feels like this year's bracket is going to be a team that can get hot running the ball. And SMU can run the ball. Like, there's a lot of teams. Penn State can run the ball. Like,
obviously, Boise.
Yeah, Boise can run the ball. Like, I think this is going to be.
Tennessee runs the ball.
Yeah, I really think, your breakout player was Samson. I think this is going to be a really interesting thing. Like, I don't think we're going to see the last 10 years. It feels like it's been passing. Now it's a revenge, and you got cold weather games for the first time in this. These are going to be run games, aren't they?
Can we get an update on the forecast in both South Bend and Harrisburg? The only thing about South Bend is Indiana plays in cold weather, so they both play in cold weather. That, to me, is not as big of a deal. The Ohio State-Tennessee, I think the high, I can't imagine the high at 8 o'clock at night is going to be more than 38, 35. That's going to be freezing. And then Penn State, at least that game's at noon. So it's not a night game, but it's going to be, I don't want to stand out there.
I actually had a thought. I think I like this. I was slow to adapt to it, but I like this home field thing. Why not expand it throughout most of the playoffs? Why not? Imagine if it went to Boise in the second round. How fun would that be? I think the money, the people of the Bulls can't do that, but I think this home field thing is really cool. I would like to see them expand it for the higher seeds to get the home field.
Man, that would be awesome. Yeah. I mean, that would really be leaning into like what college football is all about.
Yes.
But the college football is also all about money, so the money's going to win out.
South Bend's had some snow this morning, but it should be cleared up later. But you're talking about a high of 29 degrees at kickoff.
At nighttime in Columbus, Ohio on Saturday, it will be a low of 22 degrees. And at State College, a high of 25 on Saturday at State College.
Oh.
But by the way, does that help Ohio State? And it's in Knoxville's cold too. So I don't know. Like, what is it? Ohio State has this potential to have this great passing attack. I feel like they're not built like a cold weather team. They're not going to grind it out and be tough with anybody.
We're in uncharted territory.
Yeah, who knows how this is going to go. EJ, so Perloff picked Heupel. I picked Dabo. Who's your coach you'd want in the first round?
This was tough. I probably would go Cignetti. I don't really love a lot of these coaches, honestly.
You don't like your guy, Rhett Lashley?
I love Rhett Lashley, former Miami OC. Probably should have been our head coach. But I just feel like first time, he's only second year as a head coach. I feel like there might be some growing pains. People are running to SMU too. I'm not so sure about that. I feel like Cignetti, even though he hasn't necessarily coached at this level, he's won so much. In fact, I did Google him and looked at his resume and seen how much he's won on multiple levels. So I feel like just from preparing your team for a playoff atmosphere, playoff kind of setting, because he's done that on lower levels, and then what we've seen him taking a team like Indiana, putting them together and putting them in this position, I probably would take Cignetti.
We had a caller yesterday who said that same thing, is who the reason people get into Indiana is because James Madison was awesome and he brought the whole team. Yeah. So and that's a compelling reason. I'll be honest, I'm kind of into that too.
855-212-4227. We're going to get to see it tonight. Indiana in South Bend to take on Notre Dame. We're asking you the coach that you would want through these playoffs, and what are you excited about for this first round? Again, 855-212-4227 is how you call the show. You can also listen to us on Sirius XM channel 158 on our amazing Infinity Sports Network affiliates, who we love and appreciate. Of course, you can watch us youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and on X at Maggie Gray. Later on in the show, we're going to do our gift exchange, a little white elephant party live on the air. We are also counting down the top moments of the Maggie and Perloff show in 2024. We've got a doozy for you next. This one brings up a little what's the word? Agita? This one makes me uncomfortable when I hear it. Hang tight. We're going to play it for you next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. We're counting down the best of 2024 on the show. I have no idea what's coming. I assume that it is embarrassing for both of us. We started with WrestleMania, where I got beaten up by Maggie and EJ turned heel. Mm-hmm. Still have some bruises from that. Yeah. I mean, there was foreign objects, a chair. It was ugly.
Ladders, tables, nunchucks. I don't know. That was a lot of fun. Okay, so without further ado, let's get to another one of our top moments of 2024 from the Maggie and Perloff show. This is number 5. This is when we decided to bring a tarot card reader to the show. We were trying to get a little insight, Pearl, into the future, and we needed to go to the cosmos. So
the dark arts.
We tracked down a lovely woman named Angela, who has a tarot card reading business right here near the studio. She came in and I asked her about the future of my favorite team, the Buffalo Bills. Will the Buffalo Bills ever win the Super Bowl?
Define ever.
In the next 5 years.
Okay. The Buffalo Bills.
Yes.
Poor Bills. Okay.
Thank you. Even the tarot card reader knows the Bills history. Well, she's from upstate.
I think 50 would have been a better number of years.
I'm afraid I get a disappointing answer for you. This is the Two of Swords. They're still waiting for their time. So I'm getting a no on that.
Maggie, you can't be surprised, but you look shocked.
I'm terribly sorry. Okay.
I can't believe the first card that gets drawn. We're 20 seconds into this thing, and the Bills are losers.
Wait, what are you talking about? We would have told Angela to walk away if she said the Bills are going to Super Bowl. There's no way that's happening.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, I think about that often. By the way, every time something good happens, I'm like, well.
But Angela said
it's preordained.
Yeah, I think the first move going to that was wild. We and Perloff could not believe that you did that.
It was a gut punch. And when I say it was 20 seconds into her, she came in, she laid out all the stuff, her little mat and the cards and all that. And it's the first question, first card, hopes and dreams, obliterated.
Yeah.
Crap. And by the way, what makes this doubly bad, the tarot card reader was my idea.
Yeah.
It's like I invited it into the show.
You invited negativity into the show. Way to go, Maggie.
But I got to be honest. Like, this feels like the year the Bills win the Super Bowl, which makes
it does feel that way.
Yeah.
It does. You guys are the worst.
No, I mean,
like, this is serious, too.
I think you're my friends, and then all of a sudden you come in just with a knife right in the back.
No, what do you mean? I mean, we're saying the Bills are good. Yeah. Why is that? We think Angela might have misread the cards.
Or doesn't know what ever means.
I mean, if she said the Jets weren't going to win the Super Bowl, then I would say accurate.
Maybe she meant they'll never win after they win this year.
Yeah.
Maybe she's got the years off.
She didn't question the ever part, which I found funny.
And yeah, thank you, Perloff. When I said the next 5 years, you said the next 50. I was trying to capitalize on Josh Allen's prime.
But when's the last time they won the Super Bowl?
Never, I believe, is the answer to that.
They did win a title.
They
in the
won
old
like
league.
AFL, whatever it was.
Yeah, Kemp?
Yeah, the 60s, but it was pre-Super Bowl era.
It's like, that's like the New York Nets title in the ABA. We don't think that.
I didn't want to bring that up, but yes, that's exactly the same thing.
So that is the number five moment when I invited a tarot card reader in and she just obliterated everything that I was hoping and praying for in the first 20 seconds of her appearance.
And as you said, this was after you had a reading at a party, right? And that woman told you your personal life was in turmoil. That didn't bother you. The Bills losing the Super Bowl.
Yeah, she said there's unresolved things in my personal life. And I was like, this woman doesn't know jack. And then other tarot card reader comes in and says the Bills went with the Super Bowl. And I think I melted down. I might have cried.
Science.
By the way, I could do that. Like, who doesn't have turmoil in their personal life?
I didn't know what she was talking about. Unless some big asteroid's about to hit, you know, knock on wood.
A drone might fly over your house.
To be honest, the drones, I didn't see that coming. Where was the tarot card reader on that? I basically live at Ground Zero in New Jersey for all drone activity. You should have seen what was going on last night.
More drones?
They don't stop.
This is crazy.
They're all over my house. So the thing is... it's the weather kind of has something to do with it. So because on like really cloudy nights or what's been raining a ton, I'm not going to go out there and look. But on clear nights, like 2 nights ago when I posted that thing on social and then last night, it's just they're flying and buzzing all over the place.
Are you concerned? I would be.
Kind of. But here's the thing. It also feels a little like a prank.
Like hobbyist.
Being honest. Yeah. I don't want to go dark on this and into a bad spot, but it just kind of feels like one person started doing it, and then the next person, and now it's a thing, and maybe they're just people, hobbyists and stuff, are just sort of taking advantage of our curiosity and.
But how do we not?
It's like a prank.
I'm sorry, I'm going to be obvious here, but do we not know? Like, is there a chat room around where everyone's like, let's bring our drones out? Like, why is everyone so confounded by this?
I don't know, but the problem is sometimes when the politicians are filling in the blanks when they have no clue, and I think they're scaring people. Like, there's some random mayor from some town in New Jersey, which, by the way, like, I love New Jersey as my adopted home. I don't think you need to be a Mensa student to be a Mensa scholar to be elected mayor of some random town in New Jersey. I'm gonna leave that out there. He's like, it's about nuclear radiation.
Yeah,
it's like, you don't know that.
Oh, how about the Iranian mothership that is off the Atlantic coast?
Yeah,
firing these into the air. That's a good one too.
Let's stop New Jersey politicians from blindly guessing about what's going on because you're freaking us out and you have no factual backup for any of this.
It's why they're not in the loop. They're not. They can't be trusted with the real reason. That's why they're not told.
Their clearance does not go up to drone status.
Yeah. I mean, the president-elect does not know. He's openly said, I don't know what these drones are. Why aren't they telling us? Like,
and the current president said everything's legal. Like, we don't see any illegal activity. We have no reason to think it's nefarious. And so either they're trying not to scare us or it's just some random people.
But you live out in the middle of nowhere. If it's on your house, then in the more dense suburbs, there must be thousands of drones. Or I have no idea.
I don't know. But I do live kind of not close, but there is like a military base that's, I guess, not that far from my house. I think it's like 60 miles or something.
So I live in New York City. Why aren't there drones here? Or are there?
I think there are a lot more.
We're less bored.
People actually have things to do.
Yeah.
There's bars and restaurants. I live in cow country.
Apparently there was some over Staten Island. There ain't much to do in Staten Island.
Yep.
Well, maybe you're not looking in the right places.
Staten Island.
He said New York, Maggie.
Yeah,
Manny.
Newsflash, Staten Island is New Jersey for all intents and purposes.
You're right. But here's the thing. I think they monitor the airspace a little bit more closely Manhattan, considering the history. And they should, quite
frankly. And there's like helicopters that fly here, too. Like, there's probably a lot more aviation
air traffic
stuff. Yeah.
A lot of times I live, not to give too much information away, near the Brooklyn Bridge, and there's choppers that will just park and stay an hour, like 100 yards above my...
Just hovering.
Hovering, because they're watching. There's most often a jumper on the bridge, not to be too graphic.
Oh, that's a shame.
But a lot of the jumpers don't jump. It's just, and I'm sorry, it's...
Yeah, cry for help.
It's a huge problem. Like, it's a massive undertaking for... Well, I'm not going to be insensitive here, but it's really problematic when somebody climbs up the bridge. But anyway, these helicopters all hover around, and they're over the entire, like, all of Brooklyn. It's very, very loud, and it's very bizarre.
Yes,
it's
but you know scary. What they are.
No, you don't, because you think, oh, God, somebody's...
You can identify that it's a helicopter, and it's there for a reason.
Yeah.
The thing about the drones is nobody knows why are they up there.
Yeah. No, you're right. There's less mystery. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think this is an extension of Spygate for the Patriots. I think the Patriots are behind this. Why are they spying on the Jets and the Giants? Who knows? But I think the Patriots are behind this.
Well, to be fair, I mean, with the latest expose from the Jets, I think that the call's coming from inside the house, if you understand what I'm saying.
The dysfunction
is happening from inside the building. You don't need outside forces.
Does everybody have a drone now? That's the other thing. Is like every kid getting a drone at Christmas?
We teach them we teach how to do drones at the school I teach.
Yeah, with cameras.
Well, that's for journalistic purposes.
Yes.
These guys are just doing it for, you know, giggles.
Journalistic purposes and also what 90% of people who go into this business will end up doing, which is wedding photography.
Yeah.
Because, to be fair, a lot more lucrative.
Yeah. Do you need a drone for wedding photography? Yeah,
Have you seen some of those cool drone shots?
Yeah, I got one.
Yeah, it's legit now.
But I think, like, a lot of kids are going to get drones under the Christmas tree now. I think everybody's got a drone.
I gave one to my father-in-law a couple of years ago.
Did you really?
But they're small, not like one of those big 5-foot ones that I'm seeing above my house.
What does he do with it?
Sits in a box. All-time miss by your girl.
You shouldn't have received a link from him. Maybe he didn't want that, and you should have gotten a different type of drone. Maybe that's why it's in the box.
I went off the registry on this one, and yeah, it was a bit of a mistake. I took a swing, and it missed. But, you know, my father-in-law hides it well by saying
maybe that's
why
they give you the link, Maggie.
Yes, yeah, so specifically to me.
Yeah, after years of missing, like, let's just give her a clue or two.
They've actually frozen all my credit cards as well. They don't want me making just wild purchases for no reason.
Gun rack.
We're doing our gift exchange later in the show. Did anybody buy a drone for the gift exchange?
Well, considering the limit was $15. Would have been a wonky drone.
Yeah, I got one from 1975.
A $15 drone probably blows up as soon as you turn it on. Maybe with some illegal battery that definitely is not up to code.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Don't trust the lithium battery on a $15 drone. Word to the wise. Okay, we'll continue counting down the best moments of the Maggie and Perloff show from 2024, but Bogish has an update.
And these headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with life electronic device and pet health insurance. I hate Manny. A win and they would have been in. The Broncos seemed well on their way to clinching a playoff spot on Thursday Night Football.
Second and goal from the 6, 14-10 Denver. Delayed handoff goes to Estime. No play fake and a fire left corner. End zone touchdown. Devon Vele brings in his his second score.
And the third touchdown in their first three possessions for the Broncos in L.A. The lead was 21-10, but the Chargers stole 3 points on a 57-yard fair catch free kick to end the half, then outscored the Broncos 21-6 in the second half to win 34-27. Sean Payton on the collapse.
Uncharacteristically this season, we didn't finish or play nearly well enough in the second half, both offensively and defensively. Time of possession, the third down numbers, our rushing numbers fell off in the second half.
Justin Herbert threw both of his TDs in the second half as well. He and the Chargers now have a 95% chance to make the postseason. They can clinch a spot as soon as Sunday if the Dolphins and the Colts lose.
I'm sorry, Sean Payton just outlined all the things that went wrong in the second half. So was the loss on him?
No.
I mean, how many opportunities did you have to, like, change something, fix something, adjust to something? Like, is the talent disparity, obviously a quarterback, yes. I get it. Justin Herbert has a lot more experience, a lot further along than Bo Nix. But for the rest of the team, is the talent disparity that much greater?
I think so.
I don't think so.
I mean, Nix missed open guys at the end.
I mean, is there a quarterback, but I don't think the rest of the team.
That's what I'm saying. Quarterback, definitely, and maybe that's just the answer.
But right? Of course
Herbert was very good in the second half. He was running the ball.
But when your quarterback can't throw accurately downfield, like, the defense gets to adjust. Like, if everything's underneath, then eventually you just move up.
I know, but the Broncos have had statistically one of the best defenses in the league coming into this game.
And Nick says he felt like there weren't really any adjustments. They just didn't play well. Now, he could just be saying that, just to whatever, but he just said we didn't execute. They didn't change anything at halftime.
Okay, Bogus, sorry, back to you. Just, is this loss on Sean Payton, yes or no?
Remember Marvin Mims killed that guy on the double move and Nix missed him? Like, that would have tied the game, and he just missed him. It's hard. If you don't have a great quarterback, I don't care how good a coach you are. That's why Harbaugh went to the Chargers, right? Isn't that the sole reason so he could have have Justin Herbert?
Yeah, but we're talking about the Broncos as a playoff team, even with a rookie QB.
Pure schedule. Everyone knows it.
Apparently, Lions running back David Montgomery does not need season-ending surgery for last weekend's knee injury, so there's a chance he returns at some point in the postseason. And Micah Parsons said yesterday he'd prefer to get an extension with the Cowboys before free agency begins in March. For now, he is scheduled to make $21.4 million in the fifth and final year of his rookie contract. Georgia QB Carson Beck is unlikely to play in the Sugar Bowl New Year's Day, maybe not at all in the CFP. He's still exploring surgery options for his elbow injury from the SEC title game. Karl Anthony Towns with unofficially the greatest homecoming in NBA history.
Towns with the finish, little sidestep. A 30-point, 18-rebound game for Karl Anthony Towns. And a 36-point lead.
Mike
Breen. Did you just meow?
Meow.
Or meowing now?
Bodega Cat.
Mike Breen on MSG
a long season.
TV. Thank God they didn't win the NBA Cup. Towns, 32 points and 20 boards in a 133-107 Knicks win in his return to Minnesota.
I've said since day one, it's my teammates have made this transition much easier for me and my family. These guys in the locker room are always encouraging. They're motivating me to be better.
What a team. The Lakers won in Sacramento 113-100 with LeBron passing Kareem for the most regular season minutes played in NBA history. The Suns took a 120-111 home loss from the Pacers, and the Rockets sent the Pelicans to their fifth straight defeat, 133-113, 34 points for Jalen Green. And our Sharks lost to the Avalanche last night 4-2. Colorado is now 1-5-7, while San Jose has dropped 6-7. Guys, back to you.
Coming up, we will have some fun audio from the new Chiefs Hallmark movie. Hallmark Channel? Lifetime Channel?
Oh, I don't know. Is this Lifetime or Hallmark?
For some reason, I think Lifetime.
I thought that was Bravo.
It's definitely not Bravo.
What's the difference? We have some fun audio from that. We are also counting down the greatest moments of the Maggie and Perloff show from 2024. And guess who's getting a documentary?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell you about it next. All fired up around here. Not just because we're counting down the greatest moments of the Maggie and Perloff show in 2024, which has been very fun. We got another one for you, but also some new holiday viewing. Perloff, getting ready. Holiday season, it's here. Oh, yeah. You know, the whole thing. Decorations, hot cocoa, whatever is in your bag. And how about this? A new movie on the Hallmark Channel called Holiday Touchdown, A Chiefs Love Story.
Sounds familiar.
Out now. Here's the plot. Elena Higman is a diehard Kansas City Chiefs fan, and her family are competing to win the team's Fan of the Year contest in a process that's judged by the director of fan engagement, Derek.
Ooh. Wait. Okay, keep going.
That's it.
What?
This is it.
Wait. The so she has an affair with Derek, who's the head of player engagement?
Yeah. Who do you think it was? Kelsey?
Yes, I thought this was I thought there was a movie that was about like Kelsey and Taylor Swift.
No, we just made that up.
I don't know. This is what I'm seeing. Is there more?
Wait, that is such a not what I expected.
Wait, are we talking about the same thing? Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story.
Yeah. Right.
This is the plot.
When it was announced that they were doing a Lifetime Chiefs movie, everyone assumed it was a star player and a pop singer. I'm being honest. Like I remember reading that headline.
That's what you call effective PR.
It's a guy in the front office? What?
Wait, the tagline is Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story. Don't fumble the perfect catch.
Oh, yeah, they tried to trick everybody, and it worked. I remember this plot. I remembered all of this. And we were like, wait a minute, this isn't like a pop star. It's like, no, but they're going to get a blonde woman and a random white dude and then say Chiefs love story. And people are like, oh, yeah, Kelsey and Taylor Swift. They got everybody hook, line, and sinker. I remember all of this. And now everybody's reliving it again.
Yeah, I'm reading a headline.
EJ with the gigantic I told you so on the Hallmark Channel movie. What a flex.
I'm reading on BuzzFeed. Lifetime made a rom-com inspired by Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. How is that inspired?
Maybe there's a different movie. Are we
no,
sure
I
we got the right
so.
Movie?
I know. So yeah. They pulled
okay,
a rope-a-dope.
I got more for you.
Yeah.
Elena Higman is sure her family's lifelong history as Kansas City Chiefs superfans makes them a frontrunner to win the team's Fan of the Year contest. Derek, director of fan engagement, is tasked with evaluating how Elaine and her family stack up against the other two finalists. As the pair spends time together, it's clear there's a spark between them, but when her grandfather's vintage Chiefs good luck winter hat goes missing, Elena begins to doubt everything she believed about fate, destiny, and even questions her future with Derek. Unless, that is, a little Christmas magic can throw a Hail Mary. Yeah, there's no Taylor Swift or Travis Kelce anywhere near here. Bogus just burst in like the Kool-Aid man. What's yes. going on?
Yeah, I'm here to defend my friend Andrew Perloff. There are two movies.
Oh. There are two movies.
Christmas in the Spotlight is the one that Perloff is thinking about that is based on these two. It's a pop singer and a wide receiver. Yes.
Christmas in the Spotlight. All right, yes. Standby.
That was on Lifetime. Christmas Gosh. In the Spotlight.
Okay, so we're about to play you a clip from actually Christmas in the Spotlight. Okay, let's get the tag. Okay. Uh-oh. Jeez, no, my bad, everyone.
No, you got it right. No, we're not playing Christmas in the Spotlight. We're playing the Hallmark movie.
No, I think we might be wrong. This is Christmas in the Spotlight, also out now. A famous singer and a football star begin dating, but their budding romance faces intense public scrutiny, forcing them to decide if their connection is real or merely a publicity stunt by the end of the Christmas season. There we go.
This is too many movies about these two.
I mean, is this our bad?
But I got to be honest. No, it's whoever made the movie about a fan and her family wanting to date like the head of marketing. why would that sell?
Yeah, blast those people under the sun. Nobody wants to watch that one.
Taylor and Travis.
We want to watch Taylor Travis 2.0.
Because remember, the guy in Christmas in the Spotlight is also Gronk in the...
Yes. And it's Gronk's friend, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes,
something like
in
that.
In real life?
They went to college together, right?
No, this guy played, I'm looking at him now, he played at Delaware.
The guy but he does know Gronk.
He's Gronk's body double in certain things, his stand-in.
Don't get confused with the guy who Gronk got drunk on a recruiting trip and had to hide from the police under a car with, who showed up on the practice squad 10 years later. There's a lot of Gronk stuff going on.
I think they were chased by a helicopter.
Yeah,
they were
chased by a helicopter.
Also not to be confused with that bozo who was at the Yankee Stadium.
Also knows right. Gronk.
Yes.
The guy the Arizona club hockey
player. That guy went to college with Gronk.
Yeah. Gronk is Forrest Gump, by the way.
He's the new Kevin Bacon.
Very much so.
6 degrees of Rob Gronkowski. Yeah. Who knows where that gets you?
The idiot version.
It's an all idiot version. Okay. So, all right.
By the way, to be fair, NBC News said the Hallmark movie also, they said, was inspired by Taylor Swift and Travis.
Sure.
There's a lot going on here.
Clearly, and we got none of it right. But we're all set now.
So Capital J journalist here on the Maggie and Perloff show.
This will not be one of the top moments from 2024.
My students, don't listen to this part of the show.
Okay, so here's the other movie, a clip from the other movie. So this is obviously based on Taylor and Travis, and this is what we thought was so funny. So in this clip, I'll set it up for you. It's the pop star and her friend or publicist or whoever out to lunch. And the pop star is completely in the dark about who she may be dating. And the friend is filling her in on just how accomplished the football player is who she's dating.
Am I supposed to know who he is?
He's only the best wide receiver in the world. 9-time MVP. He holds the longest record for yards received.
Excuse me? How many MVPs?
He's got 9 of them.
9 MVPs? Is Thanos play wide receiver for the team?
Can we play it again? It's so good.
Am I supposed to know who he is?
He's only the best wide receiver in the world. 9-time MVP. He holds the longest record for yards received.
Guys, he holds the record for yards received.
That's the headline. That's not a football feat.
Yeah. That's by the way, yards received.
But you say best football player.
Received where?
Okay, receiving yards received. Like maybe we'll give him.
No. But also, too, best wide receiver in the world. Like,
9-time MVP.
Like in the world? Like, you mean he's better than that guy in Ecuador? Like, what are you talking about?
This is like North Korea level PR. Yeah. He played golf for the
Who
first
wrote
time.
This script?
All holes in one.
Who wrote this script? Like, we should be on the side all writing Lifetime sports movies because they need help.
9-time MVP.
Yards received. What the heck does that even mean?
And how did the longest records for yards received?
How did the guy who played college football, like, as they're shooting this, go, guys, that's not how we talk. Like, there's no such thing as yards received and 9-time MVP.
He's so happy to have a job. Mr. The Gronk-alike?
Yeah.
He's not
just raise your hand, like, that's not how football sounds.
Also, I think it's a little insulting to the female audience. You could have gone with a natural number of by the way, wide receivers don't win MVPs, but anyway, you could have gone
that
with
part too.
A normal number of MVPs for a great player, like 3.
Well, you know the last.
I think you would have driven home the point.
You know the last receiver to win the MVP? None.
Jerry Rice could do it.
Never happened.
Yeah, right.
And the most ever is 5 by Peyton Manning. 9 is rich.
Tom Brady is 3.
Yeah.
Yards received.
He's only the best wide receiver in the world.
By the way, the woman delivering online, Jeannie Mae, is like kind of famous. Like she's a talk show host. Like she was just married to Jeezy. They're getting a divorce right now. This is like her acting debut. This line.
9-time MVP.
I mean, she delivers it with confidence.
She does.
It's the writing. It's not
me. You don't know
me.
Who he is? You really don't know who he is? He won 9 MVPs.
What do you have, an IQ of 7? He has 9 MVPs.
Yeah.
Also, you're a pop star. Yeah. Like, you know more about other famous, being famous.
Imagine like a real conversation. Yeah, I want to set you up with Tom Brady.
He's only am best I supposed wide to know? Receiver. Yeah.
Am I supposed to know who that is? Like Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is like, yeah, I want to set you up with Travis Kelce. Who?
Am I supposed to know who he is?
Yeah.
Am I supposed to know? I mean, maybe we get a little tunnel vision sometimes. We think sports is everything.
Yeah.
But I think most people know who Tom Brady is.
Tom Brady would know. Kelce is forgivable. Like my kids, until now, the only one they know is Travis Kelce. Honestly, Travis Kelce is way bigger star for my teenage daughters.
I'm wondering if he had just started dating Taylor a little earlier, could he have gotten 9 MVPs?
But honestly, Jeannie Mae is right. She should have known who this person was if they won 9 MVPs. she's totally right. I'm totally on her side. How do you not know the wide receiver who won 9 MVPs? That guy is probably the most famous person in the world in this alternate universe.
You know what? I actually had this.
It'd be Michael Jordan times 10.
No, it's football.
I was thinking about, too, a funny thing. Like, there's so many elite receivers coming out of the draft in recent years. Like, who is the number one receiver? Like, it could be Chase, it could be Jefferson, it could be Tyreek Hill. Like, I even think, like, it's you don't have a best receiver in the world.
And that's how you go from a Hallmark movie to
football nerd. Because the development of 7-on-7, there's so many guys with good hands coming to the league right now. I don't see it possible for a receiver to capture 9 MVPs.
Shocking.
9 MVPs.
A 9 MVP wide receiver probably averages about
3,000 yards a year.
3,500 yards received. About 200 touchdowns.
It would have to be playing with the equivalent of Zach Wilson to not get overshadowed by the quarterback.
And the quarterback's so terrible. In fact, he's throwing his own passes to himself. He's actually the quarterback also. So he's getting passing touchdowns and receiving touchdowns.
He drops back to pass. He throws the ball in the air and then runs a post route.
Yeah, he's Mr. Perfect in 1993 doing the WWE vignettes.
But this is not as stupid as the movie Draft Day with Kevin Costner, where they take an off-ball linebacker with the number one overall pick.
Somehow that's even less likely, or more likely rather, than what we have here, a 9-time MVP wide receiver.
He's the all-time leader in yards received.
It sounds like he works for FedEx or something. It's packages received.
Sounds like a bad defensive back stat. Like, you know, like Antonio Cromartie had a lot of yards received against Tom Brady. Like, he threw for 400 against him.
Oh, my gosh. 9-time MVP, guys. Get on board. Coming up, college football playoff. We got picks for you.